This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Because we are living in a... there's something here. Punchereal world. How do I make this work?
Punchereal world.
Punchereal world.
Yeah.
I loved that movie, The Punchereal Candidate.
Punchurian.
Right, Punchurian. Thank you.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hello, welcome to Punch Up the Jam. My name is Miel Bredo. This is the podcast where I'm slowly going through every song ever made and trying to make it better. And I am trying, and please don't be mean to me. Thank you so much, today's guest. I don't know why you agreed to do this. You're so smart. Let's give you a proper introduction. You know her as a staff writer
at
The New Yorker.
Uh-oh.
It's Nomi Price! Nomi, thank you for coming on the pod.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me to be on the pod.
Of course. I love your writing.
Thank you.
I'm sure I heard you on Seek Treatment. You're a podcast natch.
I just podcast all over town.
A real podcast girl. The writing at The New Yorker is just a daytime
thing. That's just a side.
Thing.
It's a side gig. My real passion is being a guest on podcasts around Brooklyn.
Can you?
Sometimes in Los Angeles, if I'm in town.
You do it bi-coastal podcasting.
I'm a bi-coastal podcasinta
or something. That sounds like something I would see on a Tinder profile.
Oh, I'm sure.
Bi-coastal podcaster?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm angry.
That's dark.
Suddenly I'm angry.
Yeah. No, it's dark.
Nomi, when I asked you what song you wanted to do.
Yes.
Material Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Material Girl, singular, right?
Singular, yes.
By Madonna's plural.
Yeah.
Came up pretty quickly.
Yes.
Can you talk to me a little bit about this song and what it means to you?
Yeah, I just, you know, when you asked me what I wanted to do, I was going through the options and I was thinking, okay, it felt like it needed for this, for what you guys, by which I mean you.
Thank you.
You here.
The royal we. Yep.
The royal we. It felt like it needed to be a really iconic song.
I agree.
That kind of like in a very... direct way stood for something, like in a very condensed way,
mm-hmm.
let's say. And so what came to mind almost immediately was the Madonna song
Material Girl,
because it's like so obvious, like it doesn't pull any punches.
Punches.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
it says what it is. It's shameless.
It is.
Its ideology is on the surface.
Yep.
And it fit incredibly well with the time it came out.
1984.
It came out in the album in Like a Virgin 1984, and then it came out as a single. It was a second single from the Like a Virgin album and came out in early 1985.
Exactly correct.
And those were, for me, as a young girl, very impressionable time in my life. And I really remember it, like, super
well. The album
well.
Coming out?
The album coming out, but the video, like, the song, the video. I remember one thing that came to mind was there was an episode of Who's the Boss?
I loved that show.
There was one episode that I remember clearly, like, I only watched it once, where Sam gets in with the popular girls at school.
I can only dream.
She invites them over to sleep for a sleepover.
Uh-huh.
And when the sleepover is still going well, the girls are like, you know, like brushing each other's hair, like putting on makeup, whatever girls do at like a sleepover.
I wouldn't know, but yes.
And yes, me
I
either.
Imagine ice cream's and involved, pillows, I don't know.
Something like
kissing?
No.
What? That's crazy.
No.
Not me.
No. What they do is they're singing Material Girl together.
That's the time.
Yes.
This iconic episode of Saturday morning, Who's the Boss?
Saturday evening.
Shoot, sorry. I thought it was
8:30.
I assumed AM.
PM.
Oh, God. I've been led astray. Okay.
An absolute treat.
So that's where you first heard it, was Who's the Boss?
No, I heard it. I had known them, but I just remember it was... I had heard it a couple times prior, but it was so like embedded in my mind. And it was so clear to me what it meant, that the
cool
callback to the song in the episode by the cool girls as Sam is lying about her dad being rich.
Right.
It all came together. I understood it all and I felt it viscerally.
You instantly knew.
I instantly knew.
I had the same moment watching Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
When they
starring Tony Danza
famously, when they sing A Bar of Material Girl in the Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend medley. That was when I was like, oh, suddenly I understand this song that I've only really heard tangentially.
Right.
So, as you said, 1984 is Like a Virgin. I guess critics frequently identify Material Girl and Like a Virgin as the two songs that kind of made Madonna an icon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting to me because as someone born in 89, I'm like, she's just always been an icon.
Sure.
That's crazy to think that there was a moment where
absolutely
we didn't know
crazy.
Madonna. Wild.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly... And I wonder if this would happen today. I'm reminded of Seven Rings. Is that what it's called?
The Ariana song.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which is a similar premise. You know, just I bought it.
Right.
Although a little bit less, maybe he needs to buy it for me and a little bit
right.
more.
Right. It's more like I'm a girl boss.
Girl boss. Hashtag girl boss. Yeah. Thank you so much. I guess Madonna had a really hard time living down that name, that moniker.
Mm-hmm.
The media really wanted to call her a material girl and kind of make that out to be who she was.
Yeah.
Which is even more insane when you realize that she didn't write this song.
Right.
And it wasn't, I don't think, written for her.
I don't know if it was written for her or not. But I mean, definitely she became identified with it.
Yeah.
But it's funny how often like Page Six or like whatever, like celebrity blog or whatever now or then was, you know, the organ that would report on like celebrities. A way to diss a celebrity is to like call them by the name of their song, like maybe years after the fact. So, for instance, just yesterday I saw that Selena Gomez was interviewed on weirdly NPR and she said yes.
Like
on
Fresh
Sunday.
Air?
I don't know if it was Fresh Air. I just read about it. It was like on NPR, she said something. She dissed Justin Bieber and said that, or more than dissed, in fact, said it was an emotionally abusive relationship. She's glad it's over. It was like really difficult, etc. And I read about it in the Daily Mail, I believe, or maybe it was Page Six. One of those. And they called Bieber the baby Tunesmith. Like, you know, as a kind of like you
a
know,
drag
about
yeah.
his, you know, baby was a long time ago.
The
Since then, he's
Tim
had
Smith.
Like a million hits of him as an adult and
of
so
course.
On. And yet they called back to that. So I think it's a funny way like to keep identifying her with that.
Yeah.
It's a funny way to diss like or to be like, that's where she remained.
Right.
You know?
Although
the material girl.
I'm still hung up on calling someone a Tunesmith, regardless of which single you focus on. A Tunesmith?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's like you're in Game of Thrones and it's like, and what is your labor? Well, I'm a Tunesmith. Thank you so much. Yeah, it is really interesting. She said she chose the song because it was so unlike her. She views herself as, I guess, the exact opposite of materialistic,
right.
Which, by the way, materialistic, I don't know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
She told Rolling Stone that she liked Material Girl and Like a Virgin because they were ironic and provocative at the same time, but also unlike me.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. I feel bad for her is the point, because it does seem like, especially at this time, but even today, female singers are given a harder time.
Right.
I wanted to say that Nile Rodgers produced this song.
Mm-hmm.
He was a co-founder of the band Chic, which had many singles of their own, including the song that everybody sampled to make like Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight, and maybe another one, Bites the Dust, who knows.
Yeah.
But he also produced We Are Family for Sister Sledge, I'm Coming Out for Diana Ross, Let's Dance for David Bowie, and all of this album.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that insane?
That's insane. I think he recently came out with a biography, like maybe autobiography or like memoir, a couple years ago, a year or two ago.
Get it, Niall.
Yeah.
This note, I shrieked with G. I can't even speak. I'm too excited. I shrieked with glee and joy at the same time. G. When I found it, the guy singing background vocals on this song.
Yes.
Living in the material world. This robot man.
Uh-huh.
His name is Frank Sims.
Okay.
Does that name ring any bells for you? Off the top of your dome. Maybe if you're like really involved in the voice acting world.
No, not at all. No, sorry.
He, from 2000 to 2016, was the voice of the Kool-Aid Man.
Really? He's done well for himself.
Apparently he's a really prolific voice actor, but that is amazing.
That's really good.
Kool-Aid Man is singing on Material Girl.
I mean, it's, you know, it's always calming to me. There's something very satisfying when I hear I'm worried about people. You know, sometimes you're like, the guy who did the living in a material world. Like,
I hope he's
what
okay.
What happened after? Mm-hmm. I hope he's okay. He probably has a family. He thought this was like his big break.
Right.
Then we never heard, far as we know, from him again.
Frank Sims has been killing it.
Is he like a supermarket checker? Not that there's anything wrong with it, but he probably had other dreams. Cut to, for the last like basically 16 years or whatever, he's been the Kool-Aid
Man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is my audition to be the next Kool-Aid Man. It's time for a woman Kool-Aid. Imagine all the extra Kool-Aid in the titty part.
Okay. Girl boss.
Hashtag girl boss. You guys, let's get it trending. Last thing I'll say. I don't know why this tickled me so, but a patron commented, Mary Danielson, her significant other's mom has a deep disgust for Madonna because she had a dream that she was mean to her on a plane.
I can see that. I can see Madonna being mean on a plane.
Have you ever had a dream about a celebrity that just poisoned you toward them for the rest of time? I mean, it's happened.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I can also see the thing about Madonna is that she is a testy character, you know?
Right. I saw Dick Tracy. I get it. She's in that, right?
I mean, she's a tough... She's a boss bitch.
Again, girl boss. That's what we're talking about today.
That's what we're talking about
and
today.
And also, the dream I had about my high school English teacher that was vaguely sexual, and then I always felt weird about him for the rest of time. We get it. Dreams are not okay. They should be outlawed. Are you ready to get into the song?
Yes.
Here we go.
Wow.
That sound.
This is so satisfying.
Ah! Ding!
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me, I think they're okay.
What if that was the end of the song?
That would leave us wanting more.
Some boys hug me, some boys kiss me. I think they're okay.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I love this production.
It's amazing.
I don't know what it sounds like, but it's so weird.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's, you know, like mid-80s, of course, synthesizers have been discovered,
right?
Or, you know,
hot demand. They can't keep them on the shelves.
It's all about that electric sound.
Yeah, nothing real.
It's artificial. It's hard.
There's so much immaterial.
It's exactly.
Are we thinking on the galaxy brain?
Saying, yeah. Yes. But then in comes the human voice.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
The quality of Madonna's voice. Madonna doesn't have a big voice.
No.
She's no Adele.
Oh, she said it.
I mean, I don't care.
Nomi said it.
I like Madonna more than I like Adele.
Well, Madonna's an icon, I think, first and foremost.
Yeah. Like, her voice isn't what distinguishes her.
Right.
But in this song, the voice has a quality that cannot be ignored.
It's Cyndi Lauper adjacent.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, early on, oh my God, I actually just remembered something.
What?
So there I am in Israel. I'm like 8.
Suffering because of one channel.
Exactly.
No MTV.
There's one show once a week, a music show for like the kids, like the youngsters, right? Okay. Like a pop show.
Okay.
And so they show they show the new videos, right?
Music videos.
Music videos.
Okay.
But you see it once and that's it. So you have to like sit in front of the TV, you know, and sort of like to catch it. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what they're going to show. They show like a version. Okay. And at that point, I was aware of Cyndi Lauper. Mm-hmm. I think Girls Just Want to Have Fun
had
just come out. And her look, you know, the sort of like ragtag, like weird hair, like, you know, lots of bracelets, like like dancer, like leotards.
My dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
The goal aesthetic I'm trying to achieve.
And I was always trying to impress my older sister. We would watch together, like that I knew what was going on, uh-huh. even though I was like 7 years younger. Like a Virgin comes on, and I say to my sister something to the effect of, she's trying to like copy Cyndi Lauper.
You knew, and you were only 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't, but in my mind, I was like, okay, this is a flash in the pan. Basically, it was like, Cyndi Lauper, because I just had seen the video once,
right?
Like 2 months prior. I was like, I know that. That's the real thing. This is like the copy.
Yep. This one surely won't last.
Exactly. And then that's what I thought.
She made it commodified.
Like 50 years later.
We discuss Madonna a lot more than Cyndi Lauper now.
Yeah.
Raises a lot of questions.
And her voice is a combination of like, it's there is a synthetic quality about it, but it's also the warmth comes through.
But also what she's saying.
The human warmth. But it's tempered, right?
You're describing why I go to the chiropractor.
Yes. You like someone to touch you.
Please touch me and
please
I'll pay
touch
you.
Me.
In a way, legalize it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And then she goes on to say, what could you possibly follow that with?
I mean, you really, it's hard.
I think they're okay.
Yeah.
End of song.
She's like, meh.
Is a delight.
It's so fun.
It's so silly.
It just fills me with life.
It does.
It really does.
Okay, I need to know what she's talking about. If they don't give me proper credit, I just walk away.
Right.
Do we think that's credit card or like title?
Yeah, a credit line.
Okay, so if they're like batting below a 700.
Or whatever, yeah.
She runs a credit check on
her. She runs a credit check. She calls up, she gets like the credit check from like the three main companies, whatever they're called. She gets the info and then she's like, okay, I'll go on a date with you.
No, a hug.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I'll hug you.
He's like, handshake's all you get for free. You want a hug? Let's run that credit.
I just think
experience,
this
baby.
The song is so bold.
It's crazy.
Because she's basically saying, I mean, she really had no shame. I mean, what a queen. She was just like, yeah, I'm
sure.
Like, I am a sex worker.
She sounds like Amy.
Which is fine.
Nothing wrong
with it.
I'm getting...
But at the time, I mean, it's very bold.
It's extremely bold. I'm getting Amy from Little Women energy.
Amy from Little Women energy, like Venmo in the bio energy.
Yes!
It's just like all there.
I don't think...
She invented it. She didn't invent it, but she was... Definitely like a you know, a
Peter
very...
Brown and Robert Rands, the songwriters, I think, maybe.
Yes.
Whoever was like, yeah, you should only date rich guys. I mean, I think it's something that's long been very like looked down upon. I don't really see a problem with it. I think you should be allowed to choose who you date on any scale.
Sure.
I mean, some make you more of an asshole than others. But
yes.
I think
the pitfall of this is probably that you won't like them. And interestingly, right, the video tells a very different story.
Great point. Has everyone seen the video? It has like 44 million views. I'm sure everyone's aware of it, right?
Yes. So in the video, I'll just recap quickly. Please. She's a starlet. Keith Carradine is plays like a director of some sort.
And that is, I realize, David Carradine, Dean's half-brother. Very strange.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I knew there was some sort of family connection, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, he sees her. He sees the dailies. He sees the rushes, whatever. I don't know. I'm like pretending I know what I'm talking about. And he's like, who is this girl?
It should be added. That is a sketch at the beginning of this video.
It's a sketch at the beginning, which I love when they
dialogue.
Do with dialogue.
He's just watching it going, I must have her.
Yeah. He's like smoking a cigar in the screening room.
She will be mine.
And he's like, I have to meet her. Mm-hmm. Don't change a thing. Mm-hmm. Cut. Print. Whatever. Anyway, then she's like, they're on the lot.
She's shooting her music video.
She's shooting her music video.
She's an actress playing herself.
She's a starlet. It's unclear.
A little convoluted.
It's a little convoluted. But basically, he sees her and he realizes, like, again, the song has already begun. But before the actual singing has begun, he sort of spies on her in her trailer.
A little creepy.
And she goes like, yeah, he sent me this necklace. She's talking on the phone with a girlfriend. She's like, he sent me this necklace. I think it's real diamonds. She's like trying to impress me, you know, something like that.
She's actually unimpressed.
She's not really impressed.
Mm-hmm. The song is an act.
The song is just an act.
Yeah.
All she wants is love.
And he figures that out.
He figures that out. So basically he's like, okay, I get it. She doesn't. She has all of these rich assholes.
Throwing diamonds at her.
She's not really interested. I'm just going to like woo her with like, I don't know.
Bare root daisies.
Yeah, daisies.
That are picked straight out of the ground.
Yeah, literally.
No paper, no ribbon, no bow.
Nothing.
It's disgusting. Nothing.
It's disgusting.
I'm upset for her. They don't even smell good.
Nothing.
Who is it for?
They don't look good.
He's like, this is my protest. And it's like, well, she doesn't even know who the fuck you are, man.
I know. And it's weird because like this also speaks to the fact that like he spied on her.
He's
in
such
a creepy
creep.
Manner.
He's such a creep. He's such
I mean,
a creep.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty handsome. Like he's kind of like in that sort of like
bald cheek.
Beard way.
Yeah. Daddy.
So basically love is what matters.
Right. The video wraps. You find out he actually is rich, but he doesn't flaunt it. She gets in his shitty old pickup truck, and that's who she chose.
Exactly.
And I think that was maybe in a way Madonna trying to be like, I'm not the girl in the video.
Yeah, like, calm down, everyone. I'm not
acting,
a whore.
With all these allusions to Marilyn Monroe and trying to just like perform as this character, but still somehow it stuck to her. Yeah. And I guess I get it, because like she is saying, they can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious. She's saying like, yeah, I'll only
date you if you're rich.
Date you if you're rich.
I don't listen. Let's get into the chorus. I have additional thoughts on the subject.
OK.
Goes.
It's so beautiful.
It hits.
It really hits. It hits big. And I almost feel like I could get tears in my eyes.
Yeah, there is something. I don't know. Why is that? It does. It's weirdly
it's
emotional.
Something that, especially in the chorus, there's something that the music does when like it's like da 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 da. I have a very bad pitch and
no,
voice.
No, I know exactly
but
what you're talking about.
Like when it climbs up to the heart.
The octave. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Suddenly you're like, hormones, what's happening? Stop! Release me from this prison!
Yeah, it's really, there's something weirdly moving about it.
I know! I think that's, I mean, I could be wrong. It sounds like a synthy guitar. It may be a real guitar. I do love the tone of it. And the way that it's jumping all around, it feels chaotic.
Yeah.
It's throwing me off, whereas the rhythm is keeping it so tight.
Yeah.
There's just something that's like this juxtaposed chaos along with this lyric that is so exactly here it is.
Yes.
I've been teasing it, and now let me spell it out for you.
Yeah.
We are living in a material world, and I'm a material girl.
it's sort of like, you know, which obviously suggests like a happiness, but it's a happiness tinged with sadness and yearning.
It's exactly, you're calling it exactly as it is. So the chorus switches to a very standard chord progression.
Mm-hmm.
The verses are in Mixolydian.
What
I'm
is
not
that,
familiar
what
with
does
this
that
mode.
Mean?
Mixolydian mode is from the music theory of ancient Greece.
Ooh.
I'm hoping that perhaps Rob Moose will have more to say about this. But
okay.
That might be kind of what you're speaking to, if I had to guess. Again, I know barely anything about music. I don't know why I have this
podcast. Nor do I. So it's a perfect coming together.
From the lyrical perspective, I also feel strangely very empowered.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like there is so much conditioning, both outright and subliminally, growing up. I don't know if this was true in Israel too, maybe. Mm-hmm. But in America, it did feel like, I'm sure everyone feels this, but especially I feel like as a girl, there was all this additional, like, the ways in which you cannot be.
Yeah.
And this fear was instilled in me so young of seeming too forthright.
Yeah.
Too intense.
Greedy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the money thing, like, mm-hmm. no one wants to seem
grasping or
even just like no one wants to seem like a capitalist.
Yeah.
But I think we all, at least in America, likely are.
Yeah.
And so to just be so, yeah, no. I care about money because the world revolves around money. So,
yeah.
Of course, I care about money.
I think
no nonsense.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about this because I think really in some ways the 80s is when I grew up, and also just, personally speaking, like, I mean, also I was a child in the 80s, a teen in the 90s, and moving from Israel, which was much less at the time capitalist, to America, there was a kind of yearning in me to that place of like, oh, this abundance
right.
that America seemed to me.
I've heard that is the reputation America has.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
And I think so I yearned for it, and like hearing that song was like, but I also, because I wasn't from America, I also kind of felt it was wrong.
Like dirty.
And it's, yeah, dirty and just like not right, because what about the people who lose in this equation?
Right.
And as the years went on, I came to see more and more that indeed, like, the 80s fucked us up like so bad as a country.
Material Girl is where it all
so
started.
I have confused and conflicted feelings mm-hmm. about this. I guess I would say I love the aesthetics of it, or mm-hmm. I kind of like, I'm
the
really interested
veneer.
Yeah, in the aesthetics of it, but politically, I mean, I don't think it should be, this is something that happened and that has affected everything that came after it and
yeah.
was very important, but I also, you know, I do want to take it with a critique and a grain of salt. So it's that song kind of represents a moment of early kind of
questioning,
attraction, you know, like,
yeah,
okay, this is what this is, I'm drawn to it, but I also
kind of feel like it's wrong
mm-hmm. and it is kind of wrong.
Yeah, no, it is, it's 100% wrong.
So
it's really hard. I think this is such an interesting conversation to be had right now, especially because on the one hand I'm like, I never want to blame the individual, I mm-hmm. always want to blame the system, mm-hmm. and on the other hand I also feel like on the individual level, I do so much subscribe to these dual aesthetics that are so at odds with each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting
mm-hmm.
to live off the land and to have less and to have less and to have less, and simultaneously
yeah.
loving the aesthetic of a new product.
Sure.
Or
100%.
The glitz of the fanciest item. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone wants to resist that. But then when you're actually presented with it, it is very hard.
Yeah.
To refuse or to stand by your ground, you know, that
yeah.
you had originally. So I don't know. It is interesting. This song is so fun and so silly. And then maybe also you're like, but what she's saying is upsetting.
Yeah, I think it's a very hard thing to contend with.
And if you read it as, you know, satire,
and maybe that's where the yearning comes from. You know, like when I listen to it, it's like, if only I could feel. And even as a child, maybe when I heard the combination of the lyrics and the music, if it's like, if only I could feel unconflicted about this.
If you just knew
if
a little
only,
less.
Yeah. Or if only I felt like this belonged to me in a way that she feels that it belongs to her.
Yeah.
This attitude, rather than being kind of riven in half, always conflicted, feeling, you know, like fighting against myself and against my environment. And
The quandary of a deep individual in a modern world.
Maybe, yeah, perhaps.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, but then again, I'm also just like, but the synth is so fun.
I know, no, it's amazing. It's an amazing song. I love it.
I love that you're a guest on this podcast, bringing such an intellectual thought starter to Material Girl by Madonna. Actually, this is a perfect time before we get back into the silliness of it all to take a quick break.
Yes.
And we're back. That's the perfect amount of energy for this episode. I'm gonna try to be cool. Okay, Nomi, I want to impress you for the rest of this episode.
Oh, please.
I'm gonna be really cool and calm.
Okay.
I'm gonna speak about 10% slower. We're gonna return to the Mixolydian mode now in verse 2 with the flat zone. Here we go. What did she say?
Yeah, it's some boys.
These lyrics.
What?
Some boys romance?
Rome?
That
doesn't. Oh, romance. Yeah.
What these lyrics say?
Some boys.
Some
romance,
boys romance? Some boys slow dance?
Slow dance.
I need to hear that again.
This
Rome
is very...
and dome is what I'm hearing.
Some boys
Rome, Rome and...
And some boys slow-m.
You know when you meet a boy and they're just slow-ming around? And you're like, I can't get enough of this slow-m. I don't know what she... I need just... Okay, please. I hear Rome and, so definitely could be romance, but we do need to understand how this could possibly be slow dance. Slow down. Snowden. She's Snowden. Talking about Edward Snowden. The year he was born, the prophecy was true. Okay, Madonna. I love that they added that. It's like kind of sexy, but I feel weird saying that because it also sounds like a baby.
There was another thing. There was a thing that a friend of mine sent me. That's really funny. Like maybe 4 days ago, he sent me a clip from... Sorry, I'm just remembering it from the Sun newspaper of the Sun of England. And it was something about how scientists took a mummy, an Egyptian mummy.
Oh, I know
and
this.
Did you see this?
Keep
and they
going.
Installed, basically they reconstructed the mummy's vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
So the video, and this was, me and my friend agreed, was just like the ultimate in the comedy because it's like, there's a video, so of course, like, there's an ad before the video, and then, like, there's, it's a, one of those videos where there's, like, a running, you know, like, subtitles saying, like, they, you know, the scientists installed a chip in the whatever,
vocal
explaining
cords.
The whole thing, how they did it, and then there's, like, a zoom in on the mummy's, like, quote-unquote face. It's, like, yeah. Totally, like, fucked up, destroyed, obviously, and especially, like, towards the mouth. And then it's like, this is what this person would sound like were he alive, like, you know, thousands of years after the fact. And then the mummy goes, so that's a little bit what I'm reminded of when I hear this.
What if they go to say, this is what the mummy sounds like, and it's perfectly Material Girl by Madonna.
Just Material. No, the full song.
Some boys kiss me.
But anyway, me and my friend have been like texting each other the last few days, like,
So after 20 minutes of buildup, this is what the mummy sounds
exactly.
like.
And it's like, and it's like, guys, I don't know if this is
what
been
are
worth
we doing?
It.
We're playing God. This is. Have you not seen the mummy? We're going to reawaken some ancient evil spirit.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. We don't know why that person's dead. We don't know who they were in life. We're tempting the fates.
Snowden.
The prophecy was true. Okay. Well, all right. Some boys Snowden.
Some boys Snowden. Some boys Snowden.
And again, she wants to reiterate it is all right with her.
It's fine with her.
It's unclear whether it's consensual or not. I'm not sure, but she definitely is just saying, okay.
she just lays there like a mummy.
It feels like it. Yeah. Doesn't it? If you're, if any, if ever, listen, this is a lesson I'd like to part impart onto anybody, but especially any girls listening. In my experience, whenever I've had an exploit, romantic or sexual, and I've returned to tell people it was okay, I realize later I didn't really want to do it. Mm. And I didn't really enjoy it. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do want to do it and it's purely mediocre.
Right.
But other times that mediocrity maybe has something to do. Maybe. I'm right. just saying maybe has yeah. something to do with you weren't yeah. that into it.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Just an idea.
Let's keep going.
Yes. No way.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Wait, just, so some boys die and some boys die?
Some boys die and I'm not interested. My lyrics say she said try.
Some boys try and some boys die.
Some boys die and then they die and then they're dead.
And that's all right with me.
And Madonna's just letting us know she's okay with death. She doesn't fear it.
Right.
Although she should. If that mummy's coming back, it's going to be bad for us all. I want to hear that one more time. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch this the first time. I'm really interrupting us now. Do you hear that we just like opened a portal to a fifth dimension really quickly and then it just closes really fast?
So I have to let them, some boys
have to let them be. And then it's like, whoa. And then instantly, listen. It instantly goes away.
Yes, there's a, it's like there's a vacuum cleaner sound.
Suck. I need to talk to, what's his name again? Niall? I need to talk to Niall.
Niall on the horn.
I need to know what that was. Some boys just rape as if it never happened. Okay, now I need to hear the lyric in question. Some boys die, I'm pretty sure is what we're saying here. Some boys die and some boys die, but I don't let them play. No way. Because they're dead.
Some boys lie and some boys die and some boys lie?
Hypothetically, and I've emphasized this because we know she said die, but it's try and lie.
Interesting.
And she has to let them play. Sorry.
Interesting.
She does not have to let them play.
What I'm seeing here is a situation where like a guy is like saying like, I'm rich. I have like untold riches. But in fact, he's like selling his mother's house in Queens.
Right.
And like, you know, shipping her off to like the old folks home.
He's not really that rich. I had not interrupted that great drum fill.
I mean, this is one of my favorite lines because it's so quaint. Like
it
boys
is.
Who save their pennies. Like
she's like, I don't need a lot of money. $5 will do.
Yeah. It's just like.
Just $1 will do.
Save the, like put it in the penny jar.
If you have $0, I will have to keep looking. But if you have even one, you can take me out.
And the intention to save more.
Right. Well, I think, are we talking about money? Or are we talking about ambition? I don't know. They often,
I think we're talking about money.
Oh, yeah. You might be right about that. What gave away? Although, the material part?
Although in real life, you know, she dated like, well, I mean.
Sean Penn, who she met on the set of this music video.
That's true. She did. But another thing is that she dated in her early years. She dated, you know, some starving artists like when she herself was before she hit big.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in later years, she was dating like. Like her first, you know, her like Lola, her eldest is like
Lord
from the personal trainer. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
She certainly was the rich man in the equation.
I want to be the rich man so bad.
Yeah.
And not even financially, just confidence wise.
Yes.
That's what I'm going for.
No, I hear you.
I want to scare people when I walk in a room and not because of my laugh.
It's a dream. It's honestly a dream.
The rich man
just
is
let me
aesthetic.
Be intimidating.
Ah, for once in my life. And now we get back to the chorus. The face.
Living in a material world. just undeniable.
Niall, how did you make this?
Me.
What was going through his mind where he was like, okay, and then a smattering of crazy horn, and then the bass, just take, blow a line and go, man, and then like, bah, bah, and then she's gonna go, you know, and then we're gonna fake out, go back to the verse, strike right back to the chorus.
It's just so satisfying.
It feels like a fever dream.
A fever dream.
Doesn't it?
It really does.
I think I get why people would not like this song, but
really?
If you're all, I do, I mean, it's chaotic.
How could they not?
Oh, it is a lot of noises. And some might feel that they don't necessarily go together.
Hmm.
Personally, I
is
am an agent
what they
of chaos.
Call a wall of sound.
Phil Spector did produce this. Doesn't it just feel like, I don't know, a Rube Goldberg song?
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Rube Goldberg.
Like, yes.
Every instrument triggers another instrument.
Yes. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
There's a lot going on. And yeah. And again, I want to see in Niall's brain. I don't know how you write this and make, in my opinion, make it work. It shouldn't work on any level.
Maybe I should reach out to Niall.
You should write a piece on Niall.
Mm.
That career. And then also.
Forget it.
Niall's
forget
like,
it.
Actually, I'm too big for The New Yorker. Thank you, though. And then to add the, you know.
I know.
It's my favorite. You do know.
I know.
You know. That's the best part of the song.
Yeah.
Actually, I might be lying because the bridge. Well, let's play it.
It's so good.
Oh, what's his name? Frank.
Frank Sims.
Frank holds it down.
He really does.
I love the robotic way he sings it. Are we supposed to be reading into that the man singing is like a robot?
Interesting.
That she only sees him for the coin.
Yes.
And maybe the personality is who
but
cares.
But also it might be the voice of society. You know?
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
the
rise of the machine.
Soylent Green is People moment.
Yeah.
What is it called in the Skynet?
Skynet.
I'm trying to think of any other Big Brother terms we have.
Big Brother.
Big. Oh, we said one. Right. Of course. That's the society.
It's society. It's another brick in the wall.
Pink Floyd.
Yes.
We love. We stan. Yeah. Okay. I love this. I don't have anything to say about it other than I love that she sings the.
I know. Well, it's all about a mechanized sexuality, right?
Whoa. Say that one more time.
A mechanized sexuality. It's a sexuality that's not, I mean, it's the voice of passion.
No, I.
Taken through the machine.
I understand exactly what you mean. And that's why it rendered me briefly speechless. It was so exactly said correctly that it moved me. I wish I was. Huh, it's fine. I wish if I ever in my life said a sentence so succinctly and just eloquently, could die happy. Okay, and now we continue.
Boys may come and boys may go, and that's all right, you see. Experience has made me rich, and now they're after me. Cause everybody's living.
That's so good. It's so satisfying. This is the moment where it's like, I always think of this versus like the O. Henry part where like, you know, we're going to tie this back. There's a reversal, right? Surprise. Like you thought I was like.
Yep. Going after a rich man.
Going after your rich man. No, I've like fucked so many rich men.
Yep.
That now I'm rich,
yeah.
And now you want to date me.
Because I know how to fuck good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's just that moment of like, you know, reversal.
She's the
which
one.
Which we love so much
after.
Narratively.
I do.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate too that when you said, oh, Henry, I thought about that candy bar. And I haven't thought about that in a long time. I forgot about her. I wonder if she's still good.
So there's that. And then there's the return to the chorus with a slight difference.
Yeah.
Because everybody's living in the material world.
She's letting us know that
rather than we.
Just because I'm saying it doesn't mean that we're all not doing the same thing.
Exactly.
We're all in it together.
Is like, it's essentially the same thing as saying we, but making that difference is calling our attention to it.
She's calling you out.
Emphasizing it
mm-hmm.
even more.
I so love that that's what you picked up on. And this is part of the joy of having guests like you, because I was so distracted by what was happening musically.
Right.
I'm more of a word person.
I mean, I enjoy the music, but I don't.
Somebody call you a wordsmith?
I'm a wordsmith. I'm the baby wordsmith.
I'm truly more of a baby tunesmith. All I heard was the drums. Wait, I want to listen to that drum fill going back into the chorus one more time. The drummer and the bassist were like, all right, and now
it's drum and bass.
Our time to shine, brother.
Wow. I mean, this is, yeah, it's just bringing it all together.
And it so perfectly marries with the lyrical, like, reveal.
Yes.
That they both are just like, we gotta hit him home.
Just hit it home.
It's the fight. We got a minute left.
Yes.
Our time to shine.
It's our time to shine.
And provoke your thoughts. I bet you didn't think you're gonna get that from
somebody's kiss me, somebody's hug me. That's pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Should I go on the road with this?
Yes.
Or workshop it a bit? You guys, this is the TED Talk I do that makes me seem more thoughtful because I just have a higher voice. I do actually wait, I'm stumbling upon something I didn't mean to.
Oh.
If you have a higher pitched voice, people expect you to say deep things even less.
Really?
Isn't
it usually, like, if you have a really high-pitched voice, doesn't it mean you're, like, ditzy?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
So if your voice is high-pitched and you're saying something intellectual, people are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's fucked. That's a voice prejudice.
Right.
I just uncovered. No one's discussed before.
But if your voice is more like this.
I do. I assume you're an intellectual.
Yes. I am an intellectual.
Okay, I understand why no one respects me now. Let's hit that last minute. And I am a material girl. You know that we are living in a material world. And I am a material girl. Living in a material world. And I am a material girl. You know that we are living in a material world. And I am a material girl. The best part of the song, I think, is that last section.
A material.
And like the way they make it sound like we're suddenly in space.
It's exactly. It's a sci-fi moment.
We're no longer in the material world.
No, we're like we're floating in space. We're particles.
Yes.
And it reminds me a little bit of
the Kool-Aid Man is there.
Yeah, it's like a flashback or it's some sort of like out of like we move out of the time of the song.
Yes.
To a different time. Suddenly, we don't know where we are. We're floating in space, as you said, or in another dimension.
Yeah.
Maybe in the past, maybe in the future.
Feudal times.
Renaissance fair.
Yep.
But then with the world, like we get back to the here and now.
It just took those two little beats. Yep. And now we're here back
you
in the material.
You could escape.
Cannot.
You can't.
You cannot.
You can't.
I know we're probably reading into this more than anyone ever has. I don't think that's incorrect.
I think it's true.
And whether or not Niall intended it to be true.
As Niall intended.
Again, the great sacraments as Niall intended. I can't speak to that, but I feel like that is what we were supposed to feel.
Yes. Let's not fall prey to what they call intentionality.
What's
Like thinking about what Nile intended, what Madonna intended.
Focus instead on the impact.
What Paul Sims intended. Focus instead on what we see in front of us in the text as we confront it.
So are you telling me
with
you
our
went
analytical tools
to college? I'm getting the sense.
Yes.
Getting the sense you may have a degree. Interesting.
Yes. Yes, I did go to college.
Well, before I ask you, or maybe I should ask you first.
Yes.
If I were to try to make this song better.
Yes.
Anything immediately lunged to mind?
I mean, okay. I love this song so much. I'm now also like falling in love with it all over again.
It does hold up well to being broken into parts.
I would say, you know, in the vein of attempting to extend the pleasure, double the pleasure, I would say, okay, why don't we make it like twice as long? But at the same time, part of its charm and its power comes from being just the right
length,
which is pretty short.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that can jump to my mind, that can jump to my mind, that's physically capable of jumping to my mind, is finding a way to just put it in 2020. Because this is no longer in the 80s, just outright stating, yes, I care about you having money.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020 is not nearly as revolutionary.
No, I mean, there's been millions of songs like that.
Right. So
like, especially with the advent of rap, like hip hop, like all the songs are about, not all the songs, that's a gross generalization, but there's it's very common to say for men rappers to say, you know, I'm making money, like, you know, I have this and that.
I mean, and women. Cardi.
And women.
It's her whole thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there is something I could find that is still edgy in 2020.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she literally has the song Money.
Right.
You know, like, it's all I want.
Exactly.
Right? It's all I'm interested in.
Maybe that's what I'll do. But hopefully we can find some new insights when we listen to what our musician in residence weatherman Rob Moose has to say about the song.
Okay, I'll be the first to admit I haven't really given that much thought to Madonna's collected output. I am familiar with this track, and upon revisiting it, I was pretty stunned by how good it is. It's like an essay in song form and production. I'd love to talk a little bit more about the song form, because I think this is a great example of an interesting one that's both classic and a little surprising in certain ways. For instance, this first chorus and all of its friends do something very interesting. They're only 7 bars long, where you would expect it to be 8. And the reason it's a bar short is because the final bar of the chorus, where it would normally resolve back to the home key, is kind of cut off and sliced directly into the re-intro. So there's this really interesting elision, because the chorus is circling around between the 4 chord, the 5 chord, and the minor 6 chord without ever going home. And when it finally does, instead of giving us that satisfaction of having arrived, the producer has immediately taken us back to another part of the song. And in fact, the guitar plays this B-flat oriented riff over top of the C chord. So we don't really get to experience a kind of resolution in a traditional way. And I think this is a great tactic to keep the song flowing. Okay, so we all love an elision and a thwarted resolution. But I really love that they continue to do this a bit differently after each chorus. The second chorus takes the same approach but goes into a hook section where we have this cool robotic voice singing. The third chorus pays homage to the elision, let's say, but only lives in that world for one bar. So cheeky. It's a really clever way of achieving a double chorus without sort of denying the heritage of what we've done earlier in the song. I love it. If this were the Weather Channel, I'd go on and on about this song, but since I can't, I'll just draw your attention to the really cool syncopated melody in the verse. Meaning that most of the notes are falling on offbeats, which creates a really interesting tension in that section. I also love how the song kind of ends on a fade-out, except it's not a fade-out. It's very arranged and intentional, with the elements just kind of dropping at different points. And the song just sort of goes off the cliff after the last time they sing, which maybe is some kind of commentary on this philosophy being espoused in the song. I also want to give a shout-out to that sort of Kate Bush moment of, like, the merry-go-roundy material world thing that is a real outlier in the song and just gets interrupted by the most amazing little Fuck yeah, Madonna.
Wow, Rob! I just love that man. I still can't believe he agreed to be a part of this podcast. So I'll insert my punch up here, and I hope that it does Madonna and all of the material girls around the world justice.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now for world premiere,
the 2020 version of Material Girl, updated with the most controversial lyrics I could think of without actually being offensive.
Kiss me, no boys hug me, I think that's okay. If they touch me tenderly, then I'll just walk away. They can beg and they can plead, but they can't change my mind.
That's right.
Can't they see in 2020 sex is over, high. 'Cause we are living in a venereal world, and I'm a post-venereal girl. You know that we are living in a venereal world, and I'm a post-venereal girl.
No sex!
It's not a God thing, I just don't think sex makes any sense. When it comes to orgasms, I think I know me best. I could dress up, smash my tits up, or I could stay in bed. Make some pasta, take my bra off, wash Fleabag again. 'Cause we are living in a venereal world, and I'm a post-venereal girl. You know that we are living in a venereal world, and I'm a post-venereal girl. Living in a venereal world, and I'm a post-venereal girl. You know that we are living in a venereal world, and I'm a post-venereal girl.
Living in a venereal world. Living in a venereal world.
Venereal.
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 Living in a venereal world.
What did we think? It was great.
It was good. It was amazing.
Obviously, late in post, we have not heard it.
Yes.
Hopefully, it was good. And with that said, let's get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Nomi.
Yes.
Esteemed guest. Yeah. Educated, intellectual, scholar of the pod.
Right.
What is your Unpunchable Jam? Just a song you like and you want to shout out.
Okay. I don't know if I have like a very deep analysis of it or
anything.
You don't
have to. It's just going to, we're going to lay a little second in, and it's for people to get into it.
Okay. I guess I'm just going to say Sicko Mode. Love that song.
She's in love with who I am. Back in high school, I used to bust it to the dance.
Yeah.
Now I hit the FBO with duffels in my hands. I did half a Xan, 13 hours till I land. Had me out like a light, hey, like a light, hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because it's box convention.
Yeah. 5 minutes and 12 seconds in the streaming market is very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And also, have you done this at all? It's very fun. Here's a little treat for you. Incorporating the term sicko mode into situations that certainly don't apply.
So like you're at a funeral and you're like, wow, they really went sicko mode.
On this funeral. These bouquets, unbelievable. Where do they even get peonies this time of year? Exactly.
Right.
Or like, I don't know, you just, your daughter packed her own lunch. She went absolutely sicko mode.
Right.
Absolutely sicko mode.
Yeah. Wow.
That song does slap. I give you that. It's
I
a great
also
pick.
Like beast mode.
Beast mode, yeah.
She went beast mode on that lunch.
Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, I love it too. Any mode. Wait, hang on. Mixolydian. Fuck, Mike, what is it called again?
Mixolydian.
Mixolydian mode. Classic.
Exactly.
You went full Mixolydian on that.
I really did.
For my Unpunchable Jam, I hate to shout out the same artist twice so close together. I did just do another song by her, but I can't lie. I love this song. I can't stop listening to it. It's so heartbreaking and beautiful. It's again Caroline Polachek, but the song is Look At Me Now. Beautiful. It's so sad. The opening line is, wrote myself a letter, just one question, when you get this, where will you be? I know, I think, I mean, who knows? I'm guessing it's about a breakup and like the person you're gonna be at the end of it. And she does this thing lyrically that I just find so beautiful. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of the Phoebe Bridgers path right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of other artists have done it too, but it's like just songwriting that feels like text to your friends or mm-hmm. things you might actually say in conversation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of lost all of the craft side of it that sometimes, especially with songs about heartbreak, can make it feel
right.
far away.
Yeah,
it just feels so intimate and personal, and mm-hmm. and also, oh, the melody. It's just
okay.
Beautiful.
I'll listen to this.
I would recommend it.
Okay,
if you don't love Audible autotune, it might turn you off a little bit, but mm-hmm. it is a kind of a stylistic thing.
Okay,
I think she's doing. I mean, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And that's my Punchable Jam. Nomi, thank you so much for coming on the
thank
podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Where can people check you out, listen to your stuff?
I on the New Yorker website.
So the newyorker.com
yeah.
or the New Yorker magazine?
The New Yorker, occasionally in the New Yorker magazine, more usually in the New Yorker on the New Yorker website.
Do you have any pieces you're excited about coming out soon?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm supposed to, I hope I don't fuck this up, and it will be up. I'm supposed to write about J-Lo's performance at the Super Bowl. So hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, that will be up next week.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to read it.
Yeah, there's a Talk of the Town that I just filed that should be up next week, the week after.
Hell yeah. And you're so, at Nomi Fry, spelled N-A-O-M-I.
I'm at Fry Nomi Fry.
Shoot. Okay.
Yes. Fry Nomi Fry, both Twitter and Instagram.
Hell yeah.
And I spell Nomi with an A, actually, like Naomi, but I pronounce it Nomi. So it's FryNaomiFry.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to check me out, I'm at Miel and Miel Monster. You can check out the show at Punch Up the Jam on everything. We post pictures every week. And we have a Patreon that just got relaunched. And there's bonus episodes there now. If you want to listen to me talk about music some more, subscribe to the Patreon for $7 a month. Thank you, Nomi. Thank you, everyone that listened. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.